This Marketplace podcast is supported by Ascensus, helping people dream bigger, aim higher, and save more with financial confidence. Unleash the power of your retirement savings plan with innovative technology that makes things easy, top-notch service from experts who care, and flexible solutions that can grow with you. For more than 40 years, Ascensus has been helping savers achieve their goals. We can help you achieve yours, too. Learn more at Ascensus.com. That's ASCENSUS.com.
They are one of the largest recipients of NIH funding. Their scientists played a substantial role in developing more than half the cancer drugs approved by the FDA in the last 5 years. Dana-Farber Cancer Institute has been making one advanced cancer discovery after another for over 75 years. At Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
A judge says enough is enough for the Chinese property giant Evergrande. Live from the BBC World Service, this is the Marketplace Morning Report. I'm Luke Wilson, in for Leanna Byrne. Good morning. It was once China's biggest property developer, but now Evergrande has been ordered to liquidate by a court in Hong Kong. The company has debts of $300 billion. The BBC's Katie Silver has been following this story for us. Katie, what's happened today?
The latest ruling, it comes after seven adjournments. Basically, the judge said enough is enough. They said that they were expecting a decision when it comes to a viable restructuring plan. But after months of delays, they haven't been able to do it. And so basically the judge ruling that Evergrande's assets are to be seized. That's about $240 billion of assets in order for particularly the foreign creditors, because those are the ones who brought about this case in Hong Kong, for them to be able to get their money back. The judge has also just released her reasons for the liquidation. It's a huge 31-page legal document. But in it, the major crux of it is the fact that the company has had so much time and so many attempts to come up with a way of revamping their debt.
And because this is a Hong Kong court that's made this ruling, you know, the impact on mainland China, is that different for Evergrande's business?
It's going to be very interesting to watch and see on that. So the question is whether or not a court in Hong Kong can have any jurisdiction over a company that's primarily based in China. The vast majority of its business is done in China. And whilst they have a parent company in Hong Kong, for all intents and purposes, it's very much a mainland Chinese company. The interesting aspect on this, though, is that just today we've also heard about a new deal that's been reached between China's Supreme Court and Hong Kong's Department of Justice. Basically, both sides agreeing to mutually recognise and enforce judgments made in cases in both places. So that may well make it more enforceable. But according to the company, it says, for example, that it's a very separate arm. And therefore, they said that the decision was regrettable, but that the company would be able to continue its operations in mainland China.
And what do you think this means for sort of the Chinese economy more generally?
We saw, of course, Beijing changing the laws regarding debts back in 2020. And Evergrande was the first to fall as a result of this. Now, the problem here is it really shows the vulnerability both in China's economy and its model of growth. Of course, for many families, mum and pop investors, as they're known, getting a foot on the Chinese property ladder was seen as the way to get to the middle class. And so there seemed to be this huge part of, you know, the China's growth story was the property boom. Now, in recent times, it seems like this bubble may well have popped. And when companies like Evergrande and later Country Garden really found themselves in hot water, we saw other companies going bust as well, their suppliers, for example. What this shows today is that perhaps there's really an unwillingness from the side of Beijing to try and intervene to prop these companies up. Confidence is down, and that, without a doubt, is going to impact China's economy, which is already faltering. We're seeing, for example, economic growth there is above 5%, but we're seeing huge falls in the stock market. It lost between 11 and 13% last year. And these compounded worries are really adding to that picture that many are fearing about what is coming for China.
Katie Silver, our correspondent in Singapore, thanks for joining us on Marketplace.
Thanks, Luke.
Let's do the numbers. And trading in Evergrande shares was halted after they dropped more than 20%. China's CSI 300 index closed down 9/10 of a percent, but the Hang Seng in Hong Kong closed up 8/10 of a percent. To France now, where farmers are protesting against falling incomes, red tape and foreign competition. The BBC's Hugh Schofield is in Paris.
After a lull over the weekend, France's farmer protests look set to hot up again, with the focus now no longer the south, but the much more politically sensitive terrain of the capital itself. The main farmers' unions are warning of a military-style operation, with hundreds of tractors manoeuvring into place from early afternoon to stop traffic on all the motorways leading into Paris. Their aim is to stop deliveries of food to supermarkets, and thus, if possible, get the buying urban public to feel a little of the pinch. The government is unlikely to do much to stop them. The farmers' cause is a popular one, and police have not intervened once so far to lift any of the roadblocks elsewhere in the country. But the Interior Minister said that Paris's airports would be kept open and tractors would not be allowed into the capital itself.
The BBC's Hugh Schofield. Staying in Paris, and with less than 6 months to the Olympic Games, the city is gearing up for an influx of visitors. One type of guest that isn't welcome, though, is bedbugs. After a summer invasion last year, what are hoteliers doing to keep them away? The BBC's Dougal Shaw has been finding out.
Bedbugs are multiplying across France. Last year, there was a 65% increase in pest control visits, according to the country's Union Chamber of Insect Control. Malvika Sheth is a fashion commentator who got bitten during Paris Fashion Week.
I got out of bed and I saw some red bumps on my feet and on my legs. These weren't swelling up, they were staying the same size, but they were even itchier than I've ever experienced.
Bed bugs are tiny creatures, a bit smaller than a grain of rice, that can travel on our clothes and luggage and like to live in beds, so they can bite humans at night. Not a very pleasant idea, and a nightmare for hotel owners.
We had the detection of the bedbug. I want to tell you, it's frightening.
Max Malka runs a hotel on the southern outskirts of Paris. He's invested in a type of bug detection technology called Spotter, which is developed in Cambridge, England. I went to visit their labs.
Should we visit the insects first?
Yeah, certainly.
Robert Fryers, the CEO and one of the founders of Spotter, showed me around.
I can see a range of bugs in these large, wide test tubes. And what's the kind of red sacs underneath them?
So that is the blood that we feed them. Bedbugs only eat blood.
Spotter's bug detection system consists of a small white plastic box which can be placed under mattresses. It contains a pheromone chemical that attracts and traps bugs.
You can see they do actually move quite quickly.
So they're out in the light for feeding now, but normally they're very good at hiding.
A camera inside the box takes a picture of anything that crawls in, which is sent to this lab in Cambridge. They confirm whether or not it's a bedbug and alert the hotel owner, who will begin treatment. Spotter boss Robert Fryers says there's been a substantial rise in confirmed bedbug reports.
We had a couple of years during COVID where people weren't travelling around as much and therefore there wasn't so much transmission of bedbugs. But the long-term trend has been steadily upwards for the last decade and that's going to continue.
Other ways of detecting bedbugs include traps and sniffer dogs. It's all yet another cost for the struggling hospitality sector, still recovering from COVID. But hotelier Max Malka says it's a necessary one.
The reason we invested into this technology is first, a service to the customer. Second, a reputation of the hotel. And third, this will eliminate the risk of somebody suing us because he or she were bitten.
Bedbug bites and litigation is obviously a legacy nobody wants from this year's Paris Olympics. I'm the BBC's Dougal Shaw for Marketplace.
That's all from us this morning. I'm Luke Wilson with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.